And no, I gave him a break tonight. Acts chapter 20. And I don't know if you're doing your Bible reading in a year from the book we gave out several years ago. I know I am. And I just ended the book of Acts today, and it broke my heart that it has ended. Acts chapter 20. And we're going to be talking about this area again that we have been on for several weeks now. Acts chapter 20. And I want you to find your place there if you can. Stand with me going into Acts chapter 20, verse 29. We're going to read 29, 30, and 31 together. We're not going to talk about all of them tonight because of time, because I want to make sure we get a chance to get back and get some fellowship. But we will try to cover at least one of them tonight, if not two. Amen. Acts 20, verse 29 and 30 and 31. Everybody there say amen.
Amen.
All right. Let's read those together, starting in verse number 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Father, bless your word now tonight. Open our ears, open our hearts, help us to heed the warning here that Paul is giving to the brethren. And Lord, may we leave here differently than when we came in, with the word of God on our hearts and our minds. Lord, a little bit more knowledgeable of the things of God. And Lord, what you would have us to do tonight, thank you for loving us, Lord. There is one tonight without Christ. Help that man, woman, boy, or girl to see their need for Jesus Christ and be born again. And we'll thank you for what you've done, what you continue to do. Guide us as Christians. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Well, of course, as you know, we have been in this area for some time now, Acts chapter number 20. It's one of the longer chapters. This is Paul's farewell to the brethren down at Ephesus, the elders that were there, and he called them down to preach to them. And in this farewell address to the brethren, Paul is rehearsing the details of the journey of ministry that he had with them. And I had brought this up a while back. If you had a loved one or a friend or somebody that you cared for, and it was going to be your last time to see them, what might you say to them? And I'm sure it would vary based upon our relationship. Paul's relationship is one of a pastor's heart, a missionary's heart, about to leave his flock for the last time. And he's giving them some instructions on what he would have them to be careful for and mindful for. We saw in the previous verses before 28, in this farewell, of all of the things that he had done to make sure that they had what they needed to be successful as brethren. Then we saw in verse number 28 down there, Paul reminds them of the precautions they need to take by taking heed to themselves and the flock of God there in 28. We saw that last week. Now he's about to change gears here in verses 29, 30, and 31 and begin with the purpose for the protection, or in other words, why he told them what he told them in verse number 28. And so we're going to discuss that tonight here. But before we get into that, let me mention this. We need awareness and vigilance from the sheep. By the way, who is the sheep? We are. Amen. I'm what's considered the under shepherd for the sheep. But Paul here knows the sheep need a vigilance and awareness. And he says, look, I'm telling you this because you guys need awareness. You as elders, I'm calling you out so that you can go back to your respective churches and warn the sheep. They need to be vigilant. They need to be aware of some things. And so he's letting them notice because there are strong wolves in sheep's clothing. Now, let me ask this question to everybody. What's one of the most dangerous things about a wolf in sheep's clothing? One of the most dangerous things about a wolf in sheep's clothing. Joshua? Wolves like to eat sheep? Amen. That's bad. Amen. Yes?
They look just like the sheep.
They look just like the sheep. Amen. Anybody, what's one of the worst things about being a sheep, a wolf in sheep's clothing? Let me read it the way I got to read it out. What's one of the most dangerous things about a wolf in sheep's clothing? Diana? Exactly. Exactly. All these things are true. They do like to eat sheep. Amen. They are deceptive. And so And this is what I wrote down. You don't suspect them as an enemy similar to a false prophet. Now, by the way, you think about these TV preachers that are preaching this prosperity gospel. Is that biblical? No.
No, it isn't.
But do people believe them?
Yes, they
do. Why do people believe them? Because they often have a tie,
yeah.
They have a suit, and they have a Bible, and they use it.
Yes, sir.
And they take verses of scripture, and they begin to make them say what they really don't say.
That's right.
And they take them out of context.
Yes, they do.
And so because he looks like a preacher, talks like a preacher,
yeah.
Acts like a preacher, and maybe even him and Hall like a preacher,
yeah.
He's a false preacher, just like a false prophet. And so that's the danger. And Paul says, look, I got to warn you guys. You need to take heed. There's something wrong here that's going to creep into your respective ministries if you're not careful. Amen. The prosperity preachers, the healing preachers, and all those things. Now think of this. Think of how a predator stalks his prey. It's quietly and stealthily, oftentimes. Otherwise, they would scare their prey off. You think about the lionesses and the lions. You see them crouching and creeping. They don't just come out there and say, hey, rah, rah, rah. I'm going to bite you in the leg. Rah, rah, rah. They don't do that. They creep up on them until they get close enough. You see these cheetahs and all these other animals. They get out there and they crouch and they creep until they get close enough. Then they pounce. If they were just to come up there wagging their little tongues like, I'm going to eat you, boy. You look real good. They know the animal would take off and go. False prophets are the same way. Paul knows that. And so he's warning them in this passage. And he begins to talk to them on that matter. Predators rarely reveal their intent. The Apostle Paul here is equipping them, the Apostle Paul is equipped with biblical and spiritual examples from church planting, and he is well aware of the inevitable danger and damage that will come to any Bible preaching church. He's been around the block for a while. Paul has seen some things, and he knows some things. By the way, I'll give you this. Think about the biblical history of the kings just for a moment. The biblical history of the kings. How many of y'all read the book of 1 Kings and 2 Kings? 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Samuel, Saul, and all that? What often happened to the biblical kings once they possessed the throne? Wait, we say pass away? They got away from God? They did that. What else happened to them? Joshua? They what? They did have power to tell people what to do, but what else happened to them? There's something very special and key to what Paul is about to tell them. What often happened to the biblical kings once they came to the throne? Mrs. White? Prideful? They were prideful. Joshua? Oh, yeah, false prophets as well. There's one key ingredient that is right along parallel what Paul is warning them about that we all have seen. They were evil in the sight of the Lord. Alex? Sin, that's true. All these things are true. Diana? That is true. That is true as well. But now let me read the scripture here to you, and I want to bring a point to you, because notice this. Paul says in verse 29, for I know this, that after my departing should grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock, also of your own selves, should men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Speaking of the biblical history of the kings, once they possessed the throne, they were often killed by a rival within the kingdom. If they didn't die of old age, they were either killed from a foreign power without the kingdom, or they were killed by a rival within the kingdom. It happened every time. Paul knows that's a biblical history of the kings, that they are going to get to the point where we said prideful, sin, authority, and all these other things, that's going to take place. But after a while, somebody looks and says, hey, look, I don't like the way you're running this kingdom. I can do a better job. And guess what? The only way for me to be king is to depose you as king.
Yes, sir.
And the only way I can depose you as king is if you're dead.
Yeah.
And guess what happened oftentimes? They killed him.
They killed him. Yes.
And then what happened? They became king.
Yeah.
And then what happened? Somebody killed them. And then what happened? They became, and it's a cycle in the Kings and in the Chronicles. This one came up, he got killed. This one took over, he got killed. This one took over, he got killed. If that didn't happen, then somebody from Egypt or Assyria or Persia or Babylon or somebody else came in and killed them and put up a puppet king. Amen. Paul is equipped with that knowledge of biblical history, and he knows some things that's about to happen here. They were often killed by a rival within the kingdom to gain the throne, or killed by a foreign kingdom from outside. If they didn't die of old age, somebody oftentimes killed them, or they were killed from within or without. And that's Paul's concern over the next few verses, the threats from without and the threats within the fellowship. And so Paul begins to warn them. He's well aware of human nature, combined with his church planting experiences, to know what will happen to the churches. So first of all, here's the first point. Paul gives precautions because of the moderate damage from without. The moderate damage from without. Notice what he says here. He says, "For I know this. After my departing, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." Let's just take this first part. Paul could say this, "For I know this." He could say that by what he had seen in other places, by his knowledge of human nature, by the general dangers to which they were exposed, and by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Paul knew this warning was needed and should be heeded. Guess what? Parents, we know some things about human nature, don't we? What are some things that we know about human nature? That we just know it. Not parents, not students. Parents, what are some things that we just know? And we like to tell our children, I know this. What do we tell them? Something, come on, y'all know something. Yes. Amen. Amen. Certain things we see, like my wife just told our children the other day, don't run around the house. But don't carry a knife like this.
Yes, sir.
Why? I know this. You can trip, and guess what happens if the point is this way? You can stick somebody else. Or if you have it this way, guess what? It can stick you. So we say, we know this. Kids are prone to trip. I know this. Amen. Mrs. White. Amen. Choices and consequences going on. We know this. Amen. By the way, do children know that? They don't understand the law of sowing and reaping just yet. Amen. But it's catching up. What else do we know? We just know. What do we tell them? Don't talk to who? Strangers. Why? I know this. Certain people out there are bad. What else do we know? We know that people are sinners. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, Rose? Not to hang around with the wrong people. Iron sharpens iron. We know this. And so we tell our children, what else? Something that we know. Because Paul says, look, I'm warning you because I know this. Now, by the way, he didn't say, I think this.
That's right.
He says, I know this. I know this. What else? What's something else? Faith. Mothers can tell if you're guilty of stealing something. Mothers just have that sixth sense about them. Amen. They can read their children. Amen. There's certain things that we just know about. And because of human nature and experience, we know there's certain people you just don't trust. There's certain places you just don't go. Pastor White. Be sure your sins will find you out. We know that. Amen. God said it, but we've already seen it come out as well. So Paul starts off this thing when he's talking about because of the moderate damage from without. He said, I know this. I'm already aware of this. Amen. Some things parents just know by experience and human nature. He said, I know this after my departing. Paul's presence had been the means of guarding the church and preserving it from some dangers for a while. He had been with them for up to 3 years, he said. And he knows that after I leave, I know something's going to happen. By the way, parents, oftentimes we leave our children and we know what? Somebody's going to do something that they ought not do. We leave them by themselves for a few minutes. We come back, Mommy, they did this to me. They did that, or they said this, and they went here, and they touched that, and they broke that. Or we know we're going to come back, and it's broken, and nobody seems to know how it got broken. Who broke this? How'd this get on the floor? Who ate that? But there's some money on the floor. Oh, mine. Does it have a picture of Washington? It's mine. But there's certain things we just know. He says, after my departing, he says, something's going to happen. He said, I've been here, and I know as soon as I leave, there's something bad's going to happen. Now, think about predators again or pedophiles. They can come in two basic ways. When the parent is away from the child, and so the parent says what? Don't trust and talk to strangers. And so the parent knows this. And so the parent says, hey, don't talk to strangers because there are pedophiles. There are those out there, the predators out there that can harm you. So don't talk to them. But now I said they come in two ways. So they come in one way as a stranger, or the other way they come while the parent is there as a trusted friend or relative. You hear more and more. Think of this, this guy that molested all these Olympic gals. They trusted this guy. The parents trusted this guy. America trusted this guy. The Olympic Committee trusted this guy. And what did he do? He was immoral with numerous amounts of young ladies. So they're going to come in one or two ways as a predator, as a stranger when the parent is away, or when the parent is there as a trusted friend or relative. Paul is leaving them, and he knows they're going to be exposed to divisions and dangers from outside and from inside. Everybody's not going to have the Christians at Ephesus' best interest at hand. And he understands that. Parents, that's why we warn our children. You can't trust everybody. Oh, they're my friend. Well, they're your acquaintance. You know them. Friends are far and few, amen. You don't have many friends in your lifetime. You may have a handful of them, amen. People are just acquaintances oftentimes. And so Paul is leaving. He says that you're going to be exposed to these divisions, these dangers. He said, I know this. After my departing, this is going to happen. Pastor White used to have me all the time in Belgium. As long as Pastor was there, everything was good. Nobody did anything foolish. As soon as Pastor got on the plane and came back to America and left me in charge in Belgium, I'm in the pulpit, somebody want to get up and do something crazy. Speak in a tongue or do something. And, well, you know, do you guys do this over here? And where were you at when Pastor was here? But as soon as Pastor departed and left, now they want to come in with their foolishness. Or worse, church members. Well, Pastor wouldn't let us do this. But since you're in charge now. Oh, so Pastor wouldn't let you do it. But now you think I'm going to let you do it? Let me think about that. No. No.
But you're just like the pastor.
Who am I supposed to be like? Amen. This is, he's the under shepherd. I'm just filling his shoes for a while. Well, he wouldn't let us do it. Well, I'm pretty sure there's a good reason why he wouldn't. But he says, after my departing, this is going to happen. He says, it's going to happen. It seemed like whenever pastor would left and leave me, something what foolish would happen. Amen. Now, notice what Paul had to write to Timothy in regards to the same elders here at Ephesus and 1 Timothy. Go over to 1 Timothy and chapter 1 and verse number 3. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 3. Because again, Paul says, I'm warning you, these are the elders here. He's on the mission trip here. He's about to leave them. But notice what we find in 1 Timothy. And 1 Timothy, notice chapter number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice this, as I besought thee to abide still at where? Ephesus, the same group that is being warned right now. At Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach what? No other doctrine. So it had already happened by the time Timothy was there. He said, look, he said, tell them not to teach. It had already happened. Teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. It had already begun. It happened in Timothy's pastoring days at Ephesus at the same group that Paul is talking to now in Acts. Come down a little bit further here. Let's go down to verse number 18. I'm sorry. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made what? Shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander. He calls them out by name. He said, these guys were there, and they have made shipwreck the faith. They're trying to make people run aground. They're not abiding in the ship. Wow. Now, Paul had warned the elders already that this was going to happen. And what happened? Timothy is here. He says, warn them. Don't teach no other doctrine. There's some guys already there doing it. He said, whom I've delivered unto Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. So obviously these guys were some false teaching going on here in some way. Now, what they were teaching, we don't know. But they were actually teaching something so bad that Paul said, I delivered them unto Satan. I gave them up to Satan. And so they would learn not to blaspheme. Wow. Now, this is the group that Paul is speaking to in Acts. What did he say? He said, I know this. After my departing, this is going to happen. And what do children normally say when you say this is going to happen? Yeah, it never happened to me.
It never happened to me.
I warned G2 about going out by himself all the time. We normally send people with him. So somebody may come up to you and say this or that or the other. And lo and behold, guess what? Somebody came up to him. And when they was in a car and said, hey, kid, come here. What did they ask you, G? What time does church start or something like that? I came outside. Guess who I found? Mr. Nobody.
Nobody.
We say, hey, this can happen. Ah, fooey, it won't happen. Dad, yeah, fuddy-duddy. Ah, nobody does that these days. And it happened. He thought, ooh, it did happen. Yes, now, just imagine if he went to the car. What could have happened? They could have kidnapped him.
Yes, sir.
They could have trafficked him and took him someplace else. There's so many different things. Paul said, I know this is going to happen. I'm warning you. And you find here in 1 Timothy, it had already happened. Paul is writing back to Timothy, just like he told the elders of Ephesus, hey, watch out.
Yes,
hey, we've got to warn our children. There's so many dangers out there. Just like Paul. Paul is like, you are my children here. I led many of you to the Lord. You guys need to watch out. You're going back here to these churches and to your members, and you've got to teach them to watch out. Hey, we've got to teach our children. Watch out. There's some dangerous people out there. Think of how many lives were ruined by this guy. Remember the Penn State guy? That had done all his foolishness, and then all the Catholic priests and things like that, all of this is coming out to light now. And more we're finding that people are feeling like they were the ones that were guilty when it's the predator that's the guilty one. And Paul says, I'm warning you, these people are out there. He said, I know this. Go back to Acts chapter 20. He says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in. Amen. The word grievous there in verse 29 means weighty or burdensome. It's someone that's trying to put a heavy load on you. Amen. Paul knew that the persons professing to be teachers or so-called Jewish Christians would enter in after he was gone and try to ruin the church with other doctrines. Amen. Most often they were Judaizers who would try to take people back into the law. You ever ran into somebody like that and say, well, now you got to go to church on Saturday. Well, now you've got to go and have the Feast of Tabernacles. Well, now you've got to go ahead and put the blood over your door. Oh, well, now you got to do this. Well, now you got to do that. Wait a minute, I thought I was free. And now you're putting all this on me. Whoa. Hey, they tell you to do all sorts of things. You say, wait a minute. But then certain things, you know, you say, hey, well, I got to get baptized again. I got to go over here and keep the law. And man, I got to do this. And it becomes more of a drudgery than anything. And Paul says, these guys are going to come in here, and the salvation that you have that's so sweet, now they're going to try to take you back into the law. Gentiles are going to come in with false teachings. Amen. Go over to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. Matthew 7 and verse 15. So Paul is trying to warn this group here. He says, I'm pouring my heart out to you guys. I've been here for 3 years teaching off and on. And you guys need to make sure that this doesn't happen. Even though we know it happened. Why? Paul said, I know this. Matthew chapter 7. Notice verse number 15. Now, this is Jesus speaking here. And notice what Jesus says here in verse 15. Beware of what? False prophets which come to you in what? Sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. He said, look, they're going to come to you in sheep's clothing. Again, go over to Matthew chapter, you know, and you think about, I mentioned it before, the most dangerous thing about that is they come disguised just like you. they were going to come into the church there at Ephesus looking just like everybody else. Now, if you like me, I watch cartoons, and the sheep, the wolf always dresses up in sheep's clothing, but he always gets caught by Droopy or by the dog, the watchdog, the shepherd dog, something like that, and they always get it. Amen? In real life, that doesn't happen. In real life, they oftentimes get away with it. And you know why they get away with it? They tell you what you want to hear. They tell you, prosperity preachers, they tell you what you want to hear. You're going to get rich. Just give me some old money. Yeah, you're going to get rich. God loves a cheerful giver.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Well, he does. But there's a scriptural way to give, too.
Yes, there is.
And they tell you what you want to hear oftentimes. Be careful of what you want to hear. You might just hear it. You know why children oftentimes don't listen to parents and tune parents out? Sometimes because it's not what they want to hear.
Yeah.
You know what they do? La, 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 la. Now, they don't do this publicly, but in their minds, they do that. La, 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 I'm not listening to you. You're talking, but I don't see you. You're not here. La, 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 la. And they do it in their minds. You say, preacher, how do you know that? I was a kid once. Adults, did we do it?
Yeah.
Might not want to admit it, but we know we did it. We tuned our parents out quicker than you can shake a stick when we didn't want to hear something. Go over to Matthew chapter number 10. Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 16. Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 16. And he says down here, Jesus, as he's sending them out to preach and teach the gospel, he says, behold, I send you forth as what? Sheep in the midst of what? Wolves. Be ye therefore what? Wise as serpents. What is a serpent known for being? Slick, cunning, wise, sly, smart, savvy. He says, be wise as serpents. But notice this, harmless as what? Dove. Dove's one of the most defenseless animals there are, but so are sheep. Sheep have no defensive mechanisms at all. They are very defenseless. So are doves. He says, I want you to be wise as a serpent, but as harmless as a dove. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like playing with serpents. We had a young lady we were talking to yesterday. How many of y'all know those bearded dragons, the little thing? She had one up on her chest like this, like it was a little baby. And she said, you want to see? And I thought, and I looked, I thought, oh. I mean, his head was here and his body was down here. And I'm thinking, and you got that thing so close to you. And she said, well, his claws aren't that what is it, not that hard. And I felt, and I'm like, it's hard enough for me. And they were claws. I mean, y'all ever seen that one up close? Big old thing. And I'm thinking, it was about the size of my tie, it looked like.
Whoa.
Right up there. Went about the size of my tie. A little longer, and she had him right here, and the tail went down there. It was a fat little old thing, and I'm thinking, ah. Now, some serpents are like that. Jesus said, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. That didn't look like a harmless serpent to me. He looked very harmful, given the right conditions, amen. But he says, that's like, now why does Jesus tell us to be that way? Why should we be that way? Wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. He was that way. And what do people still need? They still need the gospel. They still need to be saved. Well, Paul says, you got to watch it, though. You got to protect the flock. You got to watch out for these folks. Amen. So we see they're grievous. And Paul knew the person professing would try to get them ensnared. Albert Barnes, New Testament commentary for verse 29 says this. Entering in among you means that they were coming from abroad, outside, to come in, referring to particularly the Jews who might be expected to distract and divide the flock to get them away from Christianity and their newness in Christ. Not sparing the flock, he says, means that they were seeking to destroy the church. The Jews would seek to destroy the church in every way because they did not see that their way was gone. He says that probably they would approach them with a great professed friendship for them, expressing a desire to help, only so they could defend the law of Moses, entrap and ensnare them, and entangle them back into the law. By the way, give you some encouragement here. The devil does not give much concern to liberal churches. Why not? He already got them. They're not preaching any truth, and the majority of them oftentimes aren't saved anyway, so they're not going to do any damage to the kingdom of God. But a church that's preaching the gospel, Satan's going to throw everything he can at that church, physical, emotional, spiritual, economical, occupational. He'll throw everything he can at a church that's trying to preach the gospel because there's damage that they can do. There's some danger that they can do to the kingdom of darkness, and he knows that. And so if he can get you and I down like this, Paul said, I know this is coming, so you need to beware and watch out. He knows that that can harm the plan of God. And so when God's appointed messenger stands and preaches the word of God, the wolves will be sent to creep in to try to stop it. You mark it down. And you know what he wants? He wants us to drop and dummy down the message and get the message down to something that's going to be compromising and get the message where it is palatable. And by the way, God's message oftentimes is not palatable. It goes against our very nature. But that's how we get saved. And that's how we get right with God. Amen. And so Paul warns them. He said, first of all, you know what? Beware because of the moderate danger that's going to come from without. And then next week we're going to talk about beware because of the maximum danger that can come from within. And he talks about that down there in verse number 30. But if I can leave you with some encouragement here, Paul said, I know this. There's certain things that you and I know. And with those things that we know, we've got to make sure that we let people know. We got to let our children know there are dangers out there. There are people out there that will harm them and hurt them. As teachers and preachers and husbands and wives, we got to let our children know, let our church members know, let people know, hey, there are things out there that are dangerous that can hurt us. And we've got to be aware and we've got to be vigilant and we've got to be on guard. Paul didn't say, I think this. Paul said, I know this. Read verse 29 with me again. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Again, think about the example of the kings. There was always another rival for the throne. There was always someone either coming from without to get in or someone that was already in to take over. Be on guard. Be aware. Paul is pouring his heart out to these elders here, and we already have the record. Timothy had to face that very thing that Paul warned about years before it even happened. Why? He said, I know this. He said, I'm a reader of human nature. I'm a studier of biblical history. I know what's going to happen. You guys have something good, and Satan's going to try to get in there and mess it up. You and I have something good. It's called salvation. It's freedom. It's the blessed assurance that we have. It's the liberty that we have in Christ. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's a liberty. And Satan wants to put us in bondage all over again. Don't let it happen, folks. If Paul can say, I know this, if parents can say, I know this, preachers also can say, I know this. Yes. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of time. They'll come in from out there, and they can also be within here. Watch out. Be careful. Know your Bible. Know what it says. Don't let someone trip you up and trap you into believing something that is false. Amen. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for what the Bible teaches. Paul said, I know this. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. He said, after my departing, these grievous wolves are going to enter in among you. They're going to make, Lord, a meal out of the flock. And Paul warned them, pouring his heart out. Lord, help us as men and teachers and preachers to pour our heart out, warning people of the dangers that are outside these doors. But then help us to warn our children as well of the dangers that are outside in the world with their friends and with their acquaintances and with their schoolmates and with the people they play with. There are dangers out there. And we know this. After we leave as parents and we leave our children to go and do this or that, the grievous wolves will enter in among them, not sparing them at all. And Lord, help us to put on the guard. Help us to watch our young. Thank you for the time that we have now to feast and fellowship. Pray that you bless the food and the instructions that are given. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Work in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Pastor White's got our closing instructions.